Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Build Up Your Immunity System.
Well, it's good. As we gather here again, just want to thank our worship team. Come on, show our appreciation. Yeah. You know, and one of the things I realized this week, I have a revelation, the difference between thanking someone and appreciating someone. When we thank someone, it's what they've done for us. It's still about us. But when we appreciate someone, it means because of what they've done, we can do something to bless them, to affirm what they're doing. And I think as a community, it's important that it's good to thank one another. But much more as a community, we need to appreciate one another. The time be given for them to practice, the time set up all this wonderful sound system. I know Nathan and Chandra is working very hard, but the Spirit gave up on the lights, so it's okay. But really, come show appreciation also for everyone, you know, who put everything together. Not just everything is magical, although it looks magical, but there are a lot of things going behind the scenes. But I know that, you know, take time just to appreciate them. You know, maybe next week, someone buy you all a cup of coffee, and then you have about a dozen coffee, and you'll be wide awake through the whole day. But basically, this time, I'm just reflecting that we need to be in a season of learning about health and healing. And again, I just want to put some of this foundational truth to all of us, because some of these things are important for us to really be a community in which God calls us to bring healing, to bring health, to not just each other, but also to our city and to our world. Amen? And so this morning, let's look at the slide. When I talk about you can walk in divine health and healing. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you can walk in divine health and healing. You know, in a theological word, just for your sake, there is a difference between faith healing and divine healing. And usually there's a big debate amongst teachers and scholars. What is the difference? Faith healing basically talks about you need faith to receive your healing. How many of us sometimes have struggled with that? That sometimes we don't have healing in our life. We say, maybe I don't have enough faith. But divine healing has to do with, is God's sovereign will. If God wants to heal you, He heal you. He doesn't want to heal you, He'll kill you. No. This is not how divine healing is always. It's the sovereignty of God. There's nothing you can do about it. You can pray, you can fast, you can cry, you can tell everything to God. But if He doesn't want to heal you, He won't heal you. I think both position are rather extreme, right? In one sense, it's all depend about God's sovereignty, then when do we participate with God? Remember, God calls us to be in partnership with Him. But it's all about my faith, and the question is all about my faith. The big question among us is always, is my faith enough? So we need to bring it back to a balance. When we talk about divine health and healing, there's something God wants to teach us in His Word. It's not too extreme. It's all depend on Him, or it's all depend on us. It is all about partnering with Him. Amen? And this is what you need to understand about healing, about health. It's about you partnering with God. And I think one of this thing we can partner with God is this slide explains everything. And every year, once in a while, I'll show you this slide. Most of you who have been First Light long enough will understand what I'm talking about. But for those of you who are fresh among us, we what I call the indicative and imperative tenses in the Bible. Remember, the scripture was written in Old Testament in Hebrew, and in the New Testament, it was in Greek. And if you have time to study Hebrew and Greek, you realize these two languages are the most precise languages in the world. It means when you read it literally, or you read it in terms of its tenses and moods, it's very clear. Thank God that the Bible was not written in Chinese. Why? Because Chinese has no past, present, and future tense. By reading Greek in the New Testament, because of its tenses and moods, it talks about the past, the present, and continuous future tense. And sometimes some of the Greek tenses doesn't exist in the English grammar itself. But it's important, why? Because basically we talk about indicative tenses, it means what God has already done for us and what is already true about us. Indicative means it is a done deal. When the gospel was proclaimed, it is a done deal. Remember, the word gospel itself is a proclamation of the kingdom. So in the old days, when the Roman Empire, when the emperor gave a gospel or declared something, that good news has implication on the life of the citizen. Whether you participate or not, when the king say, it's because of my son's birthday, every one of you going to get extra portion of grain. Wow, everyone is happy. Why? Because something has been done that now is true for you. So that is what we mean by indicative. The imperative is what it goes to say, what remains to be ours by grace as we respond by faith. And the imperative, okay, this is a bit of a lesson you need to understand, always must rest on the indicative. Okay? You cannot quote the imperative tenses of Scripture without knowing first the indicative. And many times when you read Paul's letter, you realize his letters, his epistles are written almost in two portions. The first part is always the what we call the indicative. Then the second part is what I call the imperative. And you realize that the imperative part is a lot of pastoral advice, about a lot of practical things, what you ought to do. And many pastors love to preach the second portion of Paul's letter because it's very practical. Rejoice always, pray unceasingly, attest all prophecy. But often and not, we don't address so-called the indicative part. But once we understand the first part, what Paul says about our life in Christ, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, then living it up becomes the imperative. Because if you're living it up without understanding what you have in Christ, the Christian life becomes self-effort and performance. So two believers can pray, but one pray out of the imperative, indicative. But one can just pray out the imperative. That means the one who prays out the indicative knows that he's praying. His prayer is a conversation. His prayer is a rest. His prayer is not a struggle. But the one who doesn't know his identity in Christ can pray desperate prayers. You can pray out of desperation, but not a revelation. So always remember, the imperative always rests on the indicative. Everyone understand? Anyone got lost? If you got lost, I give you personal tuition. Never mind. Next one. How does it work out? So it means the indicative, what God has really done for us and what is really true about us. That means the moment we are in Christ, we are new creation. That is the indicative. Whether you feel we are new creation or not, that doesn't change the fact. Indicative doesn't rest on your sense or your feeling. It rests on the truth. Anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? He took our unrighteousness, he took our sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness. That is the indicative. You are called perfect, you are called righteous, you are called complete because of what Christ has done. Amen? But we all know being a new creation in Christ is not just there and that. It begins us on a journey in which probably called the imperative. What remains to be ours by grace as we respond by faith. So we talk about in church often, or friendship, or in our life group, or 3-2-1, we talk about what? Spiritual growth and maturity. And so when we talk about spiritual growth and maturity, then we are saying we are going into fruitfulness, isn't it? So being born again is a starting point, it's an indicative. But the imperative, or everything from now on in a Christian life, rests on what has been made for us, new creation in Christ. For me, it's not looking back at my past anymore, but to discover how I can live righteous life because I'm made righteous. Righteousness is a gift from heaven. Until I know Jesus, I do not know what righteousness is. But when I knew right, what now I know Christ, I know what righteousness is. I know righteousness is a supernatural gift. It's something that I have not learned to operate. But if I grow and I mature and become fruitful and produce fruits of righteousness, the Bible says the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That means my life, the more I grow, the more at peace I am with God, with people. There's a shalom peace of God. Amen. How many of you want to be at peace? Everyone else has at peace. How? The imperative. Grow in Christ. Mature in Christ and be fruitful in Christ. So you can have the indicative and that's all you have. If you don't have the imperative, you never lose your salvation. But God doesn't give you the indicative without asking you to pursue the imperative. Hey? Amen? So, the same thing as well. The indicative of our healing is, by his stripe, I'm healed. That is the indicative. By his stripe, I'm healed. Okay? Healing is an atonement. But the imperative is, how can I grow in my understanding? How can I walk in divine health and healing? That is the imperative. Right? The how part, the working out part. But I know healing is mine already. But right now, it's for me to discover. It's just like you have a car now. Someone give you a car. Hallelujah. Whoever the person is, love you very much. But you must, if you never have a driving license, now what you need to do is you take out driving classes, right? So the indicative, you have a car. The imperative is learning how to drive it out. So same thing. Is I know I'm healed in Jesus' name. But there are times, remember, I'm struggling with my healing, isn't it? But then someone tell me, if God wants to heal me, He'll heal me. Or someone tell me, I don't have enough faith. I'm struggling, isn't it? Because if I fall into two extreme of, is it God's sovereign will to heal me? Or is it, I don't have enough faith. But if I understand the gospel, I understand what He is saying for me, I now must grow in imperative. How can I partner with God in His understanding for my healing? Hallelujah. Amen. So, healing is in atonement. No one that I know of who is involved in healing ministry will disagree with this. If a faith healer comes and says, I don't believe healing is in atonement, he cannot be a faith healer. If someone operates in divine health ministry and say, I don't believe atonement, healing is in atonement, cannot operate there. Because this is a very fundamental truth. It's either you believe healing is in atonement or you don't believe in it. And sometimes those who preaches, you don't have enough faith, you can say, yes, there's healing in atonement, but you have not attained that level of faith to appropriate it. How much faith do you need before you get saved? People? Mustard seed. Some of us don't even have faith to believe in the first place. But because we keep on hearing, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, we believe. Isn't it? So it doesn't take a lot of faith to be saved, isn't it? So if salvation comes so easily for us, or so simply for us without our works, how much more if we understand healing is an atonement? But then if I don't believe healing is an atonement, I can fall to that pit and say that, well, if God wants to heal me, He heal me. He doesn't want to heal me, what do I do? Every day I'll sing how my sickness made me more godly. Come on, there are some good hymns that tells you your pain, your suffering is how God perfects you in godliness. That means God is double-minded. God is schizophrenic. Because if He says He makes us righteous in Him, how much more are we to walk in righteous life? Is He give us righteous revelation to us from His word, isn't it? Circumstances, sicknesses, suffering can push us to God, but we can never say circumstances and all this suffering make us godly. It doesn't make us godly. But it returns us back to a godly mind or make us aware that we walk through the understanding of God's goodness all the time. So even though you and I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what? We fear no evil because He is with us. He is for us. Hallelujah. But this is a fundamental truth. Healing is in atonement. But the question is, we must ask, or basically we want to address this morning, three reasons why people are sick. Three reasons why people are sick. You want to know the three reasons? First is an attack. Okay, attacks from the evil one. Remember when Jesus was ministering to a woman who had a bent back for 18 years? What did Jesus say? This woman has been suffering under demonic bondage, or Satan has attacked her for 18 years. But this woman is a daughter of Abraham. Even though this person has been subjected to spiritual attacks, as far as God is concerned, is she is still in covenant because of Abraham. So even as a believer, will Satan attack you? Yes. But even though he attacks you, doesn't mean you are no longer in favor with God. When you go to spiritual warfare or you got spiritual attack, remember you are still in covenant. And God will deliver you because you are in covenant with Him through Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't think that in our life, I won't say all sicknesses are spiritual attacks. But some sicknesses are spiritual attacks. I mean, there are situations I've seen before where people, for no rhyme or reason, in the middle of worship or somewhere along the way, they break out in hives. No reason. It's not their allergy to something. They're in perfect health. But next moment, they break out in hives. Their body begin to have what I call autoimmune sicknesses or whatever it is. Something is wrong. You know, that is a spiritual effect. And the moment you pray, the hives goes completely away because you know it's a spiritual effect. Okay, so one reason people fall sick is because of spiritual attack. But you are still in covenant with the Lord. Hallelujah. The next reason is mishaps. Some babies are born be preconditioned because of mishap, because the mother did not have enough nutrients or the right kind of vitamins, and so some babies are born with certain situation. Mishap. Or sometimes accident. Right? Sometimes people say, oh, when you were young, your mother dropped you. So accident, mishap. That's why you're not thinking straight. Or sometimes you have accident. Just a few months ago, you know, I have a mishap. I came out from my car and I slipped and I was wearing slipper and my big toe hit my tire. I don't know why. And it turned, my whole toenail turned purplish black. And it was so painful. Right? This was this time you say, praise the Lord, but it's hard. And for a few months, the whole toe was just black. And here came Amanda and Ned. Is it pain? Yeah. Yeah. For a while, it was pain. There was numbness. I was worried. I said, oh dear, I've got to have a black toenail. What am I going to do with it? Eh? And for 6 months, you know, this is called a mishap. And I was saying, oh, it's so terrible. All my other toes look so cute and nice, but this big toe is so black and ugly. Right? And one day, I was showering, and suddenly, pop, the whole toenail flew out. And below it was a nice new toenail. And what did I do with the black toenail? I showed it to my kids. See? What I'm saying is, mishap happens. Sometimes we have accident, right? We can fall down. We can something sprain or strain ourselves, or something break a bone or two, and mishaps do happen, right? So I know when I was in the army, you know, I was a combat medic. I always had this guy who was a chronic patient. Why he always break his right hand? Because it didn't heal well. So every time after a few a strainer exercise, he break it in. So almost 2 years, I always see his right hand in cast because it doesn't heal well. And these are mishaps that happens. If you don't heal well from a previous injury, it can reoccur again, isn't it? So you repeat what you don't repair. If you don't heal certain parts of your body well, you tend to repeat that same injury again. That is why it's called mishap. So it's not because of Satan. It's because you're not resting enough. Then you have what we call neglects. You eat the wrong kind of food, or you eat too much of the good kind of food. Right, years ago I knew this guy. He has high blood pressure, he has all kinds of sicknesses, but he loves to eat. And he will eat all kinds of unhealthy stuff. And we were concerned for him as friends, but he said that, no need to worry. When I pray and say grace over this food, no cholesterol anymore. And when I pray and declare over this food, the cholesterol will not set root in my artery. I say, brother, that is not faith. That's stupidity. Right? The body itself will function in a certain way. Some of us, of course, because of our physical structure or system, some of us have tendency to have a higher cholesterol count or whatever. But I'm saying that you cannot be irresponsible the way you eat. I love food, number one. You can see by my size. I love food. Right? But the Lord, a few years ago, tell me, you must live long life and healthy life. That's why I'm looking more and more like a supermodel. And oh, I can send laughter unbelief. Lord, heal their eyes. There's a need of a mass healing right now, right? But neglects, you get me? You need to sleep. We all know we need adequate hours of sleep. We don't sleep, you wake up with all kinds of situations. You are tired, you may have a mishap along the way as you're driving to work. You get what I'm saying? So if you don't have enough rest, enough sleep, or eat healthily, or whatever it is, you can ruin your body. Neglect is, again, is not demonic. It is lack of self-care. Okay, so there's three reasons why we can forsake. So the question we need to ask next is, how do I walk in divine health? How do I do it? Well, basically, this is the title of my sermon, is build up your immunity system. Right? Many of us take vitamins, don't we? Right? Some of you don't take vitamins, you take health tonic. Right? Right? So why? Because you believe if you have adequate rest, or you take vitamins or the right kind of food, you are building up your immunity system. Well, basically, this morning I'll talk about how do you build up your immunity system. Okay, this is very basic fundamental teaching, but it's important that if you want to walk in divine health and healing, build up your immunity system. Turn to your neighbor and say, build up your immunity system. Come on, be more fashion. Build up your immunity system. How? Basically, we all know our body is made of spirit, soul, and body, right? Spirit, soul, and body. We all know this, right? We are tripartite being. I mean, we are made of spirit, soul, and body. We're not human being seeking for spiritual experiences, but we are spiritual being mastering the human condition. When you're a new creation in Christ, when you face struggles or challenges, it's another problem, another struggle. No. You are mastering over it. You are overcoming it. That's why Jesus calls us overcomers. And the word overcomers, by the way, is already indicative. It's a done deal as far as God is concerned. But now you go and be overcomer or overcoming those circumstances. That is imperative. That's why God told the people of, go and possess the land I give you. Remember? Say, I give you ready, but you must go and possess. But what they saw were enemies there. They saw the land was full of flowing milk and honey. But God said, go, I give you ready, but you must conquer those enemies. Likewise, when he calls us overcomers, the very fact he already defined us, he knew there will be challenges, there will be problems, there will be sicknesses, there will things come along our way, but we can overcome every one of them. Amen? Are we not encouraged how the Lord sees us? He don't see us as losers. He don't see us as people who will always be defeated. But he say, go and possess what I've given you. But there will still be challenges because there will be resistance from the enemy. The enemy can be Satan. The enemies can people be around you. Have you ever had a great dream? You tell someone and they deflate their dream for you? Yes? Yeah, why? Because these are challenges. Because you have a grand dream from God, but there are people who will talk you out of the purpose of God in your life. These are enemies you have to overcome. Don't treat them as an enemy, but you know they attack what God has deposited into you. So, in one sense, to build up my immunity, I must build up my spirit, my soul, and my body. So, in how do I build my spirit? Well, one of the things we can learn is from Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, give attention to my words. So listen to scripture, right? Listen to revelation. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. When Joshua was called by God, when Moses died, God told Joshua, now you must meditate on the law. But when you meditate, you will find what? Bonus and courage to overcome. Remember, when Joshua was meditating, imagine he was meditating on Leviticus. The man who took this goat and killed this cow. Imagine, Leviticus itself is law of God, really the law of God. But when God told Joshua to meditate, he will find bonus and courage. How much more now today you and I have a scripture where we meditate not on the law, but we meditate on the word of life, which is the word of Jesus to us through the gospel, through the epistles of Paul. Aren't we not becoming one? That we are like, that for the word of God, it will be life to us and flesh and health to all our flesh. Amen? That means if you and I meditate, the first time tells us, meditate on the law of God day and night. What? You are called blessed. And you are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will be fruitful in all season. Hallelujah. So feed your spirit by feeding on your word of God. Don't just read the Bible because it is a duty, but you read the Bible. Even I can tell you people, if you have the humility, really have the humility, say, Lord, I don't understand what I'm reading. But as I read, I believe there are words alive to me. Though my mind may not comprehend it, my spirit is going to receive it. Now, many times we read, I don't understand, so what I do? I don't read it anymore. But many of us, let's say you have a headache, you take a Panadol, you take aspirin. How many of you all know how it works on your mind scientifically? You don't, right? Very few of us actually know how it actually works. Some of us are very good. We know how it actually works. We call them doctors. But most of us are not. So if you are sick, take 2 Panadols. That's it. But you believe you take it, something is going to affect you somewhere. And it's going to be relieving you from your migraines. How much more if we understand, or even when we don't understand how God's word is going to operate in my life, but if I keep on feeding on God's word, my spirit will understand. My spirit will receive, and my spirit will jumpstart everything that it becomes life to in my heart and health to my flesh. And I do not believe anyone who comes before the word of God with such humility, after a season of reading, something will not happen. It will definitely cause something to break through. And that happens to me when I was a young believer. I said, Lord, I don't understand, but I'll read it. And over the years, in the middle of the night, the truth of that verse that I didn't understand suddenly all came true. Suddenly, I understand all this in my dreams. And I will wake up in the middle of the night and start writing it. And over the years, a lot of time, a lot of scripture verses, even as I read now, I still have issues or don't quite wrap my head around it. But in the middle of the night, the Lord will wake me up and tell me, this is what it means. So, in one sense, people, if you want to be spiritual, you need to sleep more. Then the Lord will reveal to you and speak to you. Amen? You agree with this verse? You have to, it's true. Now, Jude 1:20-21 says to us, but you, beloved, building yourself up on the most holy faith. The most holy faith means the revelation of the gospel, isn't it? Because it talks about our righteousness. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What I'm saying to us here is this. He tells us to pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul tells us in Corinthians, I pray with understanding, I also pray with the Spirit. So here, Jude is repeating to us the same thing, is that we need to pray in the Holy Spirit, to pray in tongues. Praying in the Holy Spirit is not like, oh, everything we pray, we pray without the Holy Spirit. All the time as we pray with understanding, the Holy Spirit is working. But sometimes we pray in tongues, we may not understand what we are praying, but we are praying the Spirit, we are being edified. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, he says, when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we edify ourselves. The word edify comes from the Greek word, means to rebuild or to renovate. That means something is not functioning somewhere in our life. But when I pray in the Spirit, I'm renovating myself. I'm edifying myself. I'm building myself up over again. You know, sometimes it's important when we pray for people also. Sometimes we pray for a situation. We can pray with understanding. Someone say, oh, I have an exam tomorrow. Pray for me. Yeah, I can pray with understanding. Oh, Lord, help this person. Help this person to do well in this exam. Make sure he get to the exam hall on time, whatever it is. You can pray with understanding. But I have a friend of mine, one time he has problem revising his work. In fact, he has not been doing well for a particular subject, statistics. So he was telling me, what am I supposed to do? I said, I don't know. I think if you don't know what to do, just pray in the Spirit. And so he was preparing for his exam. And he was just totally distracted, just couldn't revise his work. And he just began to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And throughout the whole week, he prayed more in the Spirit than actually revising his work. But after he prayed in the Spirit, it really happened to him. In the middle of the night, the Lord woke him up. Now it's time to wake up. Now I want you to study this chapter. Now I want you to study this chapter. Now I want you to study this chapter. And the Lord just revealed to him a few chapters he has to read and just muster over those chapters. And came the exam day, everything on the exam paper was based on the chapter he read. And he actually aced it. And so even his lecturer was amazed because he's not been doing well for the subject. And suddenly he was like the top student of that subject. And so I said, what's the secret? He said, pray in the Spirit. There are times you don't have solution to your situation. And sometimes you don't have solution, what do? You come wondering how God is going to work, how God is going to come through, how God is going to do it. Can you first feed your spirit? Just pray in the Spirit. Pray unceasingly. Pray all the time. But believing God is going to come true for us. Because when you are praying something in, something must go out. Like Jesus move in, something must move out. What is not of Christ cannot stay inside. So when you are praying in the Spirit, what happens is, here the word to us is, keep yourself. Always stay in the love of God. Why? Because the perfect love casts out all fears. And the only time I believe, or not the only time, I think one of the most common time when you and I can know we are in the perfect love of God is when we are praying in the Spirit. Because deep calls to deep. We do not know, but the Spirit searches all heart and He reveals us to us things from heaven. So we're not praying to God, but we are praying with God when we are praying in the Spirit. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we are agreeing with what God is going to do in our life. Amen? Because sometimes I pray understanding, I may get it, I may not get it. You get what I'm saying? I may not know what God's perfect will is, but when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying with God because God is depositing something of His perfect will in my life and I'm going to operate in it. The next thing is, Ephesians 6:18 tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That means at all times, pray in supplication in the Spirit. Supplication is making your request known to God, telling God things of life, what matters to you, making appeals to heaven, knowing that every word that you utter is going to a throne of grace, not to a box of rejection. But when you pray, your prayers come before the throne of grace. And you know that you can expect grace and mercy in times of need. But when you pray, he says what? Being watchful to this with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Means as you pray, don't just pray for yourself, but pray for people. And there are situations in life, God will deposit faces, people, out of the blue. Really, something out of the blue, literally someone that you know, thought of, suddenly their face appeared, their name appeared. Then you know, God, I'm going to pray for them. This is what we call catching heavenly assignments. You know, sometimes I'm cooking or I'm driving my car. Suddenly, I see faces of you guys. I have no time to text you. What's wrong with you? The first thing I'm not going to say, what's wrong with you? First thing I say, God is going to bless this person. I know this person is going through a struggle right now. Or the person is going through a situation, but I'm going to pray for this person. And I was just praying. You know, sometimes I see Brother Edmund's face. Edmund, you appear in my mind very often. I don't know why. It must be yellow. Now, the thing is, you know, so I say Edmund often. I say, oh, I pray for Edmund. And during the way, I'll talk to him. I won't go around and boast, brother, I pray for you, you know. But he would tell me, well, Pastor, I was going through this situation in my life. This, I was facing, oh, which day happened to you? Oh, Tuesday. Oh, I was praying for you, man. You didn't know. But you know why we're doing this? These are heavenly assignments. When we catch on to pray for one another, it is for their health and for their healing. Because if you catch my face in your dream, it's for you pray for me, it's for my health and healing. If I catch your face in my dream or in vision or whatever it is, you know, it's for your heavenly healing. You do not believe if we do this heavenly assignment throughout the whole week, 2-3 faces appear, 5-6 faces appear. It could not be just church people, it could be your friends, it could be your family, it could be your colleague. Do you not know you're lifting the health standard of your environment you're in? You agree? Yeah. Next one. How do we build up my soul? 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 tells us, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Everyone say, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Wow, I can see there's a stronghold here, man. When you build a temple, it's to bring something in. When you build a fortress, it's to keep something out. Paul says, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means we are to usher in the Spirit work in our life. Amen? But stronghold in here in Greek is actually mean fortress. Sometimes there are some things in our mind that trap us to keep something up. And what we keep up could be the truth of God. So he says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So not everything that you think are actually all true. Not all your thoughts are actually accurate. No, you go to work tomorrow and your supervisor or your boss say, come and see me at 11 o'clock. You are fearful already. Have I done something wrong? Very few of us will say, oh, I'm going to have a promotion. Am I right? The moment someone call you, you worry. I know, sometimes as a pastor, I call someone. Hey, how are you? Pastor, what have I done wrong? Why you call me? That to me is opening. What have you done wrong? Tell me. Actually, I was just saying, oh, I'm just thinking of you. I want to have coffee with you. But why have I done wrong? See, the problem is, if you're not thinking by faith, you will always go back to a default thinking of fear. And many of us function from our default thinking because we are lazy people. It's easier to go back to a default thinking. Everything in life is bad. Everything in life is no good. Everything is... Oh, it's default thinking. Because we don't have to put effort in default thinking. But actually, it's a lot of effort goes behind default thinking. Why? Because you worry. And what do we mean by worrying? To worry is meditating on your fear. When you are worrying, you're meditating on your fear. And God saying, I know who you are. I know you will always meditate on your fear unless you start meditating on my word. And my word is life. My word is joy. My word is courage to you. If you meditate like Joshua did, you will find courage and bonus to overcome. So everything that I think sometimes can be factual, sometimes can be somewhat true, but it's not totally true. But so everything I think or exalt itself above Jesus Christ, I must put it, tear it down, casting down every argument and take it into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? Christ obeyed God and died for our sin. That means everything that we have in our mind that doesn't align to what is accomplished to us for the finished work of Christ, we need to cast it down and take it into captivity. Literally, it means punish every thought by the grace of God. That's what it means literally. Punish every thought by the grace of God. Wow, how can we do that? It means every thinking that is not of God, we need to punish it by the grace of God. It means you cannot survive. So we keep beating that lie in our mind. We keep beating out the half-truth until it cries, uncle. Okay, surrender to God now. Surrender to the grace of God. Many times we have wrong thinking. And our wrong thinking comes from our default position because we don't want to pursue truly the knowledge of God. But once we understand that every thought that we have and we take it into captivity and submit it to the obedience of Jesus Christ, we will live by truth. That's why Paul tells us in Colossians, Jesus is the wisdom of God. Or rather, if you read it in Greek, it means Jesus is the logic of God. So to be a logical Christian is not to be highly intellectual and full stop, but to be a logical Christian is to be highly intimate with the Father, that everything that you see through your life is to see it through His eyes, as what Kay said last week, through His lenses about you. Can it be done? Yes, isn't it? If I stop living my life by lies and half-truth, but every thought that I have, so the moment I know I'm worrying, don't say, oh, it's human to worry. No, it's not. Or it's human to worry. I'm not human anymore because I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a spiritual being overcoming or mastering this human experience of fear or worry. And this is my own personal thing. I can tell you, there are many situations in my life, sometimes I still think I need faith for it. But there are many situations in my life, now I'm fully persuaded that I don't need faith anymore because I know God is going to do it for some of the situations. So when people tell me something that struggle in life, I say, don't worry, God is going to see you through because I'm fully persuaded. Because I've seen God working in it, because I took those thoughts captive to Jesus Christ. But I also must tell you, there are some thoughts in my life I still need to put it into captivity. Some of my thoughts, I'm still sometimes, Lord, are you going to come true for me? But thank God for this verse, 2 Corinthians, say what? Our weapon is not carnal. It's not by our own human strength. But it's mighty in God for pulling down stronghold. And the weapon we have is the very revelation of the Word of God. Amen? Next, How do I build up immunity to my soul? Philippians 4, 7 and verse 9. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul was telling the Philippians to have the peace of God to guard their hearts through Jesus Christ. And the letter to the Philippians is called a joyful letter because Paul mentioned joy many times. But do you know where was Paul when he wrote this letter? He was in a dungeon. And you know what is a dungeon? It's a place full of dungs. This is one of the ultimate punishment. Keep them in the dungeon means all is in the basement of a huge prison. So all the human excrement will come to this cesspool and Paul was chained up. And he said, now I have peace of God. Why? Because he has taken captivity of all his thought to the obedience of Christ. He did not see himself as a prisoner of the Roman Empire. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. That's why you read in Philippians, I'm a citizen of heaven. He is thinking kingdom. I am not a victim of worldly situation and circumstances. I am seeing myself as a citizen of kingdom, and my kingdom will come true for me. That's why the way he closed his letter, I like it. There's an inside joke. He said, I consider all things rubbish because of Jesus Christ. The word rubbish in Greek is actually human excrement and dung. But what I want is the power of his resurrection. That's why he can tell the Philippians, even to us today, I had this peace of God. Because I'm not feeding on the shit of my life. I'm feeding on the revelation of who I am in God. And now he tells the church. What he tells the church? The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me. The gospel that was working in him. He said, this you do. This is the imperative. And God's peace will always be with you. And the Greek and Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom means to be completely in the salvation of God, to prosper, to be successful, to have breakthroughs upon breakthroughs. Our Western idea of peace means no noise. Right? The most peaceful place on earth is cemetery. Right? But this is not peace. This is just silence or quietness. But peace is not without challenges. But in the midst of challenges, like what Paul have emulated for us, I'm still joyful in the Lord. Because I have identified myself with Christ. And whoever identify themselves with the Lord will never see themselves as victims, but victors in every life situation. So if any believers, if you love them enough, if they talk victim talk in their life, oh, bad, life is so bad, oh, this, and again, they're asleep. Out of love. But no, don't do that. Unless you know them very well. But then again, don't do that. Unless you want to say bye-bye to a friendship. But any which way, but when they talk victim, you say, shut up. We need to take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. That thought is not obeying Jesus Christ. That thought must submit to Jesus Christ. You must beat that thought with the grace of God until it submits to who Jesus Christ is. And then you understand the shalom peace of God. So peace here is not a price to gain, but peace is a present given to you. But you only need to shift your gear, not seeing yourself as a victim, but as a victor in Christ. Amen? Then Paul later will tell us in Philippians 4:8, I tell you, he's one fantastic here in a dungeon. He's writing this letter. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Tell your neighbor, meditate. on these things. Don't worry. Don't meditate on the stock market. Don't meditate on the currency exchange. Don't meditate on the economy. Yes, it's good to know the news. But you are good news people. And good news people meditate on the good news all the time. Now, I know what's happening all over the world. I read the news. But sometimes nowadays, reading the news is very sad, right? Right? Because it's not just bad news. Now you fight with fake news as well. Right? So you sometimes you do not know what you're reading. But end of the day, we need to meditate on what is true. Whatever is noble. Whatever things are just. In fact, if you put your own name there, I meditate on Richard that is true, meditate on Richard that is noble, Richard that is just, Richard that is pure, Richard is lovely, Richard is of good report, Richard is of full of virtue, Richard is of praiseworthy, because this is how God sees us. Do you not come to a point where you lose so-called the need to have more faith, but now you're walking fully persuaded? Because you've been feeding your soul upon your identity in Jesus Christ. Yes? Yes? Yes, that's what we need to do. Now, next I talk about the body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That means our physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit dwells in our body, physical body, and He is with us. And so our body is not to be neglected. Even though sometimes you may have accident or you have mishaps, but don't neglect your body. Have the awareness your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's how you build immunity, that my body is God's Holy Spirit. So where there are sicknesses that are creeping in, you see signs of symptoms of sicknesses, don't say, "Oh, I'm going to fall sick." Many times I see people, a bit of twitch here, a bit of ache here. "Oh, I'm going to fall sick." And that day is always Monday. Don't go to work. "Thank you, Lord, for today. I'm falling sick." No. Many times, I say this again, I have symptoms. I can sense something is coming. It's whether I'm going to agree with it or I don't agree with it. At times, I can tell you, sometimes it's nice to lay down in bed and just cuddle up, but you don't have to be sick to lay down in bed, you know what I'm saying? And so sometimes you have that sense of, "Oh, a flu is coming, a headache is coming." I say, "Shut up." I begin to speak to my body. "Do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Mine is a huge temple. Some of you like shrines only, but mine is a temple, right? Yeah? But you need to say that to your body, right? So you see a doctor, you see the doctor. I'm not saying that we are not practical people. We see doctor, "Oh, you have high blood pressure, you got a bit of this, a bit of that." Don't walk out of that place feeling miserable. Body, you are temple Holy Spirit. And because your body is a temple Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit deserves the best body. So, high blood pressure, be normal in Jesus' name. Tendons, muscles, nerve, be normal in Jesus' name. Be healthy in Jesus' name. And when you speak things like this, faith flows naturally, supernaturally. You get what I'm saying? Don't say, afterward we go home, your friends ask you, family, answer, what the doctor say? "Oh, doctor say I got high blood pressure. I'm going to take this medication for the rest of my life. Amen." Most of us give this our testimony. You get me? We give this our testimony, you know. That thank God for this medication. It's going to sustain me for the rest of my life. Amen. Years ago, I met this lovely lady, you know, Sister Rani. And Sister Rani was a beautiful lady. Came to minister at my church in Singapore. And she's a woman who have a lot of supernatural experiences. So she was sharing that one day, Sister Rani was pretty larger than life. Right? Can I say that? Larger than life. And she actually went to see a doctor. And the doctor diagnosed her, found that her high blood pressure was way high, and she got all kinds of other ailments. And he told me, "Richard, you know, when I left the clinic, I had to take about 70 tablets a day." I say, "Wow, you're a walking plague, man." I say, "Yes. And I was so depressed. And then she canceled all her itinerary ministry. He canceled all her appointments to preach because he was so depressed having to take all this medication. 70 tablets a day. I say, you don't eat anything else. A good way to lose weight, man. He said, I was so depressed for a few weeks and I was so angry, and you know, my health. And she's a woman of faith, by the way. Woman of faith. So I said, what do you do? You know what I do? I said, do you ask God to heal you? I said, I never asked God to heal me because I know this is an assignment from Satan. I said, what do you do? I asked Satan to come to my house. I said, you did? I said, yes. I said, devil, you come right now. And the devil appeared before me. You know what I did? I take all the medication. I said, see all this medication? See all this medication? See all this medication? I'm going to shove it out. Pee, pee, pee. I was sitting there. Are you sure? I mean, many of us already pray that Jesus would come to my bedroom, right? If angel appeared to our bedroom, we'd be very happy. But this woman actually summoned Satan into her house. And want to shove out the whole medication, right? Up to some extremity of the devil. I said, Satan, I'm not going to take any more of this medication because I know this is an attack from you. I'm going to walk out of this room healthy. So the moment he threw all the tablets at the devil just poof disappeared. He went to see her doctor immediately afternoon, and the doctor said, I do not know what you have been taking. But there's no more high blood pressure. There's no more other ailments. You are a complete bill of health. I said, hallelujah. See, you know, I was so happy that I wanted to do cartwheel, but my size cannot do it. So I just lie on the floor and I just move around. I said, well, in those days we call it break dancing, right? But she's happy. And she still ministers till today. She's about 80 years old. So people, you can say that, oh, incredible. It is incredible if you don't cast your minds or all kinds of argument and take them into captivity into Jesus Christ. Now, if you go and see Dr. Nix, please don't go and call the devil come to your room, right? These are extraordinary situations. This is what they always say, magic show. Don't try this at home. These are done by professional people. But I'm not saying that as a believer, don't feel bad just because sometimes your body is not working or you think that you need the medication and something wrong. No. Take a medication, keep yourself alive. But trust God to heal you. Right, I met many people who move in healing ministry or on medication. And there was a time I was rather stumbled. How can you pray for people in America and you taking medication? And this guy told me, years ago, he had kidney failures. And right, he refused to go for treatment. He refused to go for dialysis machine treatment. He said, I'm a man of faith. How can I go for this? This is not... And he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, you will heal me. And the Lord said, yes, I will heal you, but meantime, take your medication. Because by the time he refused to go for treatment, his body has been bloated up because of all the toxin and everything. And he faithfully takes his medication. And a few years later, he was completely delivered from his kidney ailment. And he's now still ministering. There are lessons we have to learn. And Paul himself taught this to Timothy, right? Physical training is of some value. Do exercises, you know, not just to reduce weight, but keep yourself fit. Because when you keep yourself fit, you know medically you build out your immunity, isn't it? Yes? But Paul also said to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. This is what I want to tell you guys. There are times, Paul performed great miracles. Hey, Timothy was with Paul many times, and Timothy also had done miracles. But Timothy now is he's writing to Timothy, and Timothy had this ailment, stomach problem. Bible commentators are divided. What's wrong? Maybe he got gastric problem. Some say he got worms in the stomach. Whatever it was, you realize Paul didn't say always walk in divine health as a fight over the devil. But at times, be practical. Exercise to build out your immunity, but at times you may take something to help to deal with certain ailments. Say, take a little bit of wine. Now, this is not for those who you are drunken. Don't misquote this verse. In fact, those days, wine in the Bible land time is less than 5%. That means some of the alcohol content is less than your beer. All right. But what Paul is saying, you need to steady your stomach. Something is wrong. Don't just take water, but take a bit of wine. So Paul gave a bit of what I call medicinal or medical advice. So as Christian, this is what we need to do. Bear our spirit, bear our soul, and bear our body. Bear our body knowing that first we know we are made of God, we are God's temple, but we also know that good to exercise, but also good to take the right kind of stuff. To bear our spirit is to always pray in the spirit, read God's word, feed on God's word, right? And to bear our soul is always throw away the wrong thinking. That's why when you hear the message of grace, every message of grace is a message of repentance. Right? Repentance means sometimes we think something wrong. Now we think it right. In fact, the Greek word for repentance means think higher up or think up. To repent is never to think down. If you hear, if assume repentance is to think down means to be condemned, that is not repentance. But you think up is you, there's a conviction. So when you hear the word of God and there's repentance in your heart, you are actually thinking up. And when you are thinking up, you are possessing all that God wants you to possess because you are a citizen of heaven, you are sons and daughters of a loving God. Come, let us all rise. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Father.